I have seven words, and they all begin with the letter C. And we're going to kind of go in order of the way they're presented. The first letter, or the first word, is celebrate. What is it?
Celebrate.
Celebrate. That begins with C, right? Celebrate. Look what Paul says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Did you know that word rejoice? It comes from a root word, which is the word for grace. For grace. So, in other words, it means to delight in God's grace. To be aware of God's grace. Are you aware of God's grace in your life this morning? Pastor John led us to the table this morning as a means of grace. So as we took of the bread and took of the cup together in the body of Christ, God's grace, it was poured through those elements into our hearts and into our lives together as a community. Rejoice, be aware of God's grace. And notice what Paul says. He says, rejoice in what? In your circumstances? Rejoice in what you think? Rejoice in how you feel? Rejoice what? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. See, our rejoicing, we can celebrate in the Lord. I may not celebrate, you know, some challenges and difficulties. I don't go, oh, yippee-yoo-ki-yay, I have a problem today. But I celebrate. We can rejoice in the Lord because we can recognize and delight in God's grace. Our sins are forgiven. Man, that's God's grace, right? Amen? We're sitting together, worshiping God together. Amen? God's grace has been poured out in your life and in my life. And if we had time this morning, I could get witnesses, right? I could ask for witnesses. Can I get a witness? You know, God's grace is in your life, and He's manifested Himself in your life, and He does things in your life, and He encourages you, and He helps you, and He walks alongside of you, and He gives you peace, and we can celebrate in God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
We serve a good God. We serve a loving God. God's grace. So we celebrate that. So when Paul says rejoice, I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. It's like if he was here, he wouldn't just say, you know, however he says it in the Greek, rejoice. He'd say, rejoice. Ah, say it again, rejoice. Maybe not with that accent. I don't know what accent Paul had. But you understand what I'm saying, right? So we celebrate the goodness and the grace of God. It's not our emotions. I mean, the emotions are there. Sometimes you can come to church when we gather together and we're feeling pretty low. Do you ever come here on a Sunday morning feeling pretty low? I mean, I'm feeling pretty low. But you get together with God's people and you begin to sing the songs of faith, whether they're choruses, whatever key they're in, or however they're led, we begin to sing and we begin to look at the words and we're together with brothers and sisters and we realize we're not in this alone and we can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Nudge the person next to you, say, rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate. Celebrate.
Celebrate.
Celebrate. Celebrate.
Celebrate.
That's the first word. I can expand that, but I have six more to go, so celebrate. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice. And then Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So there's these next two words kind of go together because two words for this verse. The second C word I want to share with you is chill. I know, you won't find that in the Greek. Chill. 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 Right? You just go, chill. Chill. Chill, man. Well, that's what the word gentleness means. It means relax. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Relax, chill. The word really means to be reasonable, to have forbearance. In other words, don't get so uptight. Just chill. Let your chillness be evident to all. It's interesting when you study that word. You know, you've heard of the spirit of the law or the letter of the law. This says it's not the letter of the law, so it's not being lawlessness. It's not the letter. It's the spirit of the law. It's fulfilling the spirit of the law, and it's fair fitting. There's two words. You can put them together to be fair fitting. To And so I just say the word chill. Chill. Let your chillness. Now, if Pastor Joshua, he'd probably be upset at me for using that word, but he's not here. Too bad. Let your chillness be evident to all. So how's your chill factor today? I know some of you are already, you're chilling already because your eyes are like this and, you know, even though there's no whoopie pies, I mean, you're just chilling. But look at the second part of this verse. The Lord is near. That the word I want to use there is companion. Companion. Let your chillness be evident to all. The Lord is your companion. He's with you. Not only is he with you, he's in you. I mean, that's kind of a crazy thing to understand, right? And the word that Paul uses here when he talks about the Lord is near, the word near means to be here in place or in time. It's not up there somewhere. It's not some kind of an abstract thought. I mean, God is pretty abstract, if you ask me. I mean, that's a pretty heady thing when you think about God and that stuff and all that God is. But God is here. The Lord is here. He's near. He's here. Time and place. He's right here with us now, right? He's right in you. He's in me. He's with us. So how do we let our chillness be evident to all? Because we have a companion who walks with us. In case we kind of get out of sorts through the Holy Spirit. He nudges us. Hey, I don't know if God quite says it that way, but, you know, hey, chill, relax. Let your gentleness be evident, clearly seen. You know, some people have these poker faces. You never know what they're thinking, right? But other people, oh, man, I mean, you know what they're thinking. You have the rolling of the eyes. You have this kind of stuff. And I was in a board meeting once. I'll tell a story. I'll make it quick. I was in a board meeting once. This was a few years ago. And we were talking about something. It was an intense conversation. It wasn't contentious. It was just intense. And this person wanted something to be done. And I just wasn't going to allow it, that particular meeting. The next meeting, which is going to be another 2 weeks, we were going to allow some more conversation about that. And so we're talking, so, well, they wanted to vote about something. So, well, you know what? We're not going to vote right now. Let's wait a couple of weeks. And this person rolled her eyes. And that just drives me nuts. I mean, if we're in a board meeting, right, just like that. If we're in a board meeting and someone rolls their eyes, that was very good. We didn't even practice that, did we? And I know why Jamie hangs around you. She just rolled her eyes. And I'm sorry. I mean, you can roll your eyes in a group. But when you're a leader in the church and we're talking about some things, don't roll your eyes at me. So I said, I don't know, I must have lost my mind. My chillness wasn't evident. I said it in a very chilling kind of way. Not chill way. Not chilling. I said, did you just roll your eyes? I mean, I was chilled, right? Did you just roll your eyes? Just like that. Did you just roll your eyes? Yeah, maybe I had a little high voice there. And she didn't know what to do. I didn't quite know what to do because I was surprised. It just came out of me. Because I'm chill. Did you just roll your eyes? I said, don't roll your eyes. You have something to say. Say it. And she said, I didn't know you could do that. And I said, well, I just did. So I guess again. I said, don't, you know, if you have something to say, don't. What has got to do? Oh, yeah, what? Chillness. Companion. The Lord is with you. Some people get so uptight about things and so upset about stuff. And I think God wants us to let your chillness be evident. The Lord, I can't imagine Jesus rolling his eyes. But then again, you know, hanging out with the disciples and some of the things they did, maybe he did, I don't know. But the Lord is near you. I don't know, that's not in my notes. I have no idea where that came. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident. The Lord is near. Chill, companion. Look at verse number 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Now, we love to quote this verse, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The C word here is calm or composed. Calm. You can really literally read this. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, the word anxious, literally, the word anxious means to be pulled apart in all directions. You ever feel that way? Of course you have. We're human beings. Pulled apart in all directions. So what Paul is saying, don't go to pieces, right? Don't go to pieces. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't go to pieces about anything or everything. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it, sometimes? And sometimes when you're kind of going through some stuff, isn't it easy to kind of go to pieces a little bit? Do you ever experience that? Anyone? All right, good, good. The rest of you are saints and good. I mean, be anxious for nothing. Don't be pulled apart. Don't go to pieces. Don't be so divided. Don't be so distracted. How do we do this? You know, there's a positive sense that this word is used sometimes. If you go back a couple of chapters to verse number 20, Paul of chapter 2, Paul says about someone he has a genuine interest in your welfare. The word genuine interest is the same word that's used here as anxious. Only that's the positive side of it. But so how do we do this? How do we not be anxious about anything? He tells us, instead, in everything, make your petitions known to God with thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving is Eucharist. We celebrated that today. That word literally means the giving of thanks for God's grace. Now we're back to God's grace again. The giving of thanks for God's grace. Let your requests be made known to God. So don't be anxious. Don't get pulled apart about so many things. But instead, when it comes by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, sometimes we get super spiritual and we say, well, I don't want to bother God with this. And God's saying, you're already bothered by this. Why don't you just tell me? Right? And sometimes we think, well, God doesn't know. It's like, you know, we go to God and we say, God, do you understand X, Y, and Z? This is going on. And sometimes we think God's going to say, oh, I didn't know that. Really? You're kidding me. Really? Man, where have I been? Because we know God's not going to say that. But it's interesting that he says, you need to let your requests be made known to God. Don't get, you know, sometimes we get this thing that, you know, I don't want to be, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say here? Sometimes we're, I don't know if we're afraid to talk to God about this stuff or if we have this kind of you know, martyrdom that, oh, we just got to bear it kind of stuff. I'm telling, this is what Paul says. Listen, instead of being anxious about something, talk to God about it. Let him know. It's not surprising him. Let him know by prayer, with thanksgiving. In other words, why do you be thankful for this? So you can say, it's not thankful for the situation. It's thankful for God's grace that is in your life. And I've got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when things get challenging, when things get tough, God's grace pours into our life. When we talk about the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, you don't know peace until you start walking through a storm. Then you know what his peace is, right? When you're looking for, we can talk about God's guidance, but when we have to make a decision and we have God's guidance, then we know what God's guidance is. So this is what Paul says. So the word there is to be calm and be composed. And it's not easy to do, but this is what Paul is saying. Listen, don't get so pulled apart in so many directions. Talk to God. Present it to him with petition. Be honest, but be thankful for his grace. Say, God, I'm thankful for your grace, but I'm not quite sure how this is all going to work out, so I'm just giving it to you. Help me to let it go. Help me not to hold on to it. Let it go. But Paul doesn't stop there, and he says, and the peace of God, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting, the word peace, the word peace that Paul uses here means wholeness. In other words, in Christ, those things that can be what we just talked about, you know, going to pieces, God can somehow, in some way, kind of puts them together. He helps us to try to understand his wholeness, God's wholeness in our life. And it goes, it transcends, it's beyond, it surpasses, even super surpasses all that we can understand. Our understanding is the word that is the word used for understanding is comprehension, the things that are in our mind, the things that we think about. Isn't that where the battle is, my friends? Isn't that where the battle is? And the battle is in here, right? I mean, we start thinking stuff and we start wondering about stuff and we start supposing stuff and we presume stuff. And so Paul, what Paul is saying is the peace of God will stand watch, will guard, that's a military term, will guard your heart, the things you feel, and your mind, the things you think about as you are in what? Who? Christ Jesus. So that's the key, right? You have to be in Christ Jesus. So so when Paul says this here, he talks about this calm and to be composed. It's the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. So he brings wholeness. I have two more C words. You're doing so well that our time is going quickly. Two more C words. Number six. And the word is contemplate or consider. He goes on. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. The word think means to dwell, to consider, to take into account. It's an intentionality on our part. Instead of your mind dwelling on this or on that, Paul is saying you need to start thinking differently. And sometimes we need to have a designated driver to help us with that, right? You know what a pity party is, a party of one. Sometimes we need to have some help with this. And so we need, but Paul is saying here, there's an intentionality on our part. So if our mind is kind of going off the rail, it's important for us to think about something different. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the power of positive thinking, but what I'm saying is the things that are praiseworthy, the things that are excellent, the things that are honorable, those are the things we need to focus on. Social media just drives us all over the place. And I'm not saying social media is bad and the technology is good. But you can get so wrapped up in stuff. And you watch the news, you get so wrapped up in stuff. Sometimes you just need time out. Time out. It sounds like I'm not chilling here. But we just need to, you know, time out. I have to turn my mind to other things. I have to start thinking about other things. I can't think about that person that way. I can't think about this situation that way. So I really have to, with intentionality. And how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways to do that. You talk to people. You read something that's positive. You dig into the Word. You pray to God. So you have to consider and contemplate the things that are good. And then the last word of this letter C is community. Look at what Paul says in verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Work on it. My friends, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. And this doesn't happen by yourself. We're called to be in community. Now, Paul, it's interesting that Paul is trying to help them. You know, he's trying to help because he's been spent some time teaching them. He spent some time sharing with them all these things that, you know, through the time he was there in the book of Acts. And, you know, he's trying to encourage them by letter. And he's trying to say, all these things that you've seen, put it into practice. Work on it. But it happens in community. It happens in the body of Christ. So when you feel that you're kind of crashing, or when you feel that everything is overwhelming, or when you feel that you're kind of losing it, or you're going off the rails, you need to call someone. You need to check on someone in the body of Christ. Don't assume that everyone knows. Call someone. Don't wait for someone to come to you. Call someone. Call them up. Tony, man, can you pray with me? I'm just struggling with something here, and I'm not quite sure what to do. Can you offer me prayer? Can you help me out here? And of course, Tony's going to say, get lost. Tony would never say that, right? He'd pray with you. Or anyone in the congregation. Pastor Fred, Pastor John. Anyone. Susan. Janice Gray, Jamie. I mean, you could call anyone. Say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me out? And I can tell you right now that people will say, yeah, what's going on, right? If someone called you, would you say, oh, I'll go talk to someone else, right? Of course you wouldn't. This is the community. This is how we do things together. We're in this together, right? Amen? Ooh, we got quiet on that one. Woo! Woo-hoo! And it's interesting. I love how Paul ends this. So he starts in verse 7, and the peace of God. And the end of verse 9, he says, and the God of peace. Isn't that kind of cool? The God of peace will be with you. Well, those are the seven C words. Celebrate, chill, companion, calm or compose, complete, contemplate or consider, and community. So let me ask you this morning, as we wrap up. You anxious? Are you troubled this morning? You concerned? I mean, like overly concerned? Do you feel burdened? Are you frustrated? Are you struggling? Is disappointment kind of weighing heavy on you? Do you feel rejected this morning? Do you feel disillusioned? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will stand watch, keep guard over your heart and your mind as you are in Christ Jesus. Whatever is praiseworthy, and all he goes on with all those things, think about such things. Whatever you've seen or heard or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's not mumbo jumbo. I mean, this is the word of the Lord. And we sang that song, he never has failed me yet. I got news for you. He's never going to fail you, yet or not otherwise. He never has failed me yet. Aren't you glad for that? Let's stand. And so, Lord, this morning, as we close out our service today, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you, Lord, for the reminders that you are in control. I thank you, God, that your peace, your wholeness, your completeness. Sometimes we feel like we're in pieces and we've got stuff going on everywhere and we're just kind of distracted and discombobulated and we're just not quite sure. It just seems like everything is everywhere. Spiritually. And I pray, God, that this morning, that maybe one of these words, or maybe two of these words, or maybe all seven, but maybe one of these words, God, will begin to take root even this morning. And so this morning, Lord, we give to you this area of concern, this area of disillusionment, this feeling of rejection, whatever it is, disappointment. I mean, we're going to have these things. In fact, Lord, you said, in this world, we will have trouble. So we're not talking about avoiding trouble, Lord. We're talking about what do we do when we sense we're in trouble. We come to you. I'm glad, Father, that John recorded Jesus as saying, in this world you will have trouble, but in me you may have peace. So really it's up to us. I mean, the peace is already available to us. We have to appropriate it into our hearts and into our lives. And we don't do this by ourselves. So, Lord, maybe this week you give us opportunity to talk to one another about these areas of concern. But, Lord, this morning, right now, we just place this in your hands, whatever it is. I know we're not here at the altar and we're in our seats. But it really what matters is the attitude of our heart. I'm not saying the altar is a bad place to come or we shouldn't do that. But it's the attitude of our hearts. So, Lord, we present these things to you. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for this body of Christ. I thank you for the work that you do in our hearts and our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.